subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Ninja Selling Podcast. I'm here with Garrett, and we have an incredibly special guest with us today, Stacy Brown Randall, who is the author of the award-winning book, Generating Business Referrals Without Asking, is joining us today. And we discovered this book through Larry Kendall, shared it with Garrett and I, and this is so relatable to all of you ninjas out there who are building your business on referrals and without asking, for sure. So to bring Stacy in, just to give you a little information about her, Stacy Brown Randall is a member of the Business Failure Club, a contrarian on how to generate referrals, and a supporter of the entrepreneurial dream. Through her programs, she provides a roadmap to take control of your business. Stacy is a three-time entrepreneur, the author of course, the award-winning book, Generating Business Referrals Without Asking, and host of the Roadmap to Grow Your Business podcast. Stacy, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I am thrilled to be here. I know this is going to be a really fun conversation.
Great, great. And good morning, Garrett. How are you?
I'm wonderful as always. Thank you, Matt.
Wonderful. So, well, Stacy, let's dive right in because I think this first question is an interesting one because we hear a lot from our clients, oh yeah, my business is totally referrals. And a lot of times Garrett and I go, is it really referrals or is it something else? So Stacy, maybe you could just start with like, what is a referral?
Can I just say though, it's really nice to hear other people say that they have doubts when people tell them their businesses is built by referrals, because people tell me that all the time. They're like, oh, my business is built by referrals and I can't help myself. And I'm like, all right, great. Let's dive into the data. Let's see what this actually looks like. And then it's not usually the case. And it's, you know, it's kind of a hard truth, I think, for people to realize like, oh, I guess I was just going off of anecdotal evidence of what I thought, not necessarily what my business revealed. So yes, it is. A great place to start in terms of really understanding what a referral is. So here's the thing. In defining a referral, let me start with the reminder of why we all want them, because this is the thing that makes the definition actually make sense. So when you tell somebody, you know, hey, I grew my business by referrals, or you talk about how much you love referrals, there's some pretty universal reasons why we want referrals in our business. Usually when we have a referred prospect, right, they are quicker to close. They are easier to close. They are less price sensitive because they already have assigned value to you because they trust whoever is recommending you to them, right? So they come almost like ready to go. They just have to decide, right, if you're probably the right person they want to deal with, but they already know they trust you. They already know that you can solve their problem. They come in at that know, like, and trust factor, and they drop in at the trust side, which moves the process along faster. So when people say referrals are the holy grail, that's what we're talking about, because everything about a referred prospect is usually easier with the closing process and getting them to say yes to becoming a client. Not always, but most of the time. So with that in mind, what we have to understand then, that a referral has two things that any other type of sales lingo terminology wouldn't actually have. So the most common terms that are confused as a referral is word of mouth buzz, or sometimes you'll hear it says word of mouth referral, which I tell people is not a thing, right? So you'll hear word of mouth buzz, you'll hear warm lead, and you'll hear introduction. And then they'll be mixed in with referral. We'll use them interchangeably, right? So people will be like talking about word of mouth buzz and they're referring to it as a referral, but those are actually four different types of prospects. And so when you have a referral, you have two things that word of mouth buzz, introduction, and warm lead do not have. And of course, cold lead is in its own other category. We have to talk about it. It's totally different. But a referral is going to have, number one, a personal connection. You will always be connected to the prospect by a referral source. Now, people call the referral source different things, but just remember this, a referral source is the human that always is referring you. So that's why we call them the referral source. Maybe you call them a referral partner, your sphere of influence, whatever, but they're a person who's actually referred you. And so you're always going to be connected to the prospect by the referral source. So that personal connection will always be there. And that's where the trust transfer happens. So that's what makes that person showing up already willing to consider working with you, because they trust the person who said, trust Stacy, right? The second thing it's going to have is the need identified. The prospect knows they are a prospect. right? They know, hey, I got to solve a problem. I have got to get my house sold, right? Or I have to move across the country and buy a new home or whatever their need is. They're already in that buyer mentality mode. So when they show up and their need's been identified and they're referred to you, it's truly a prospect conversation because, hey, I've got my need identified and I'm told you can solve it. And I trust the person who says you can solve it. And that is why a referral shows up and is all those things that we want: quicker to close, easier to close, and less price sensitive, because there's personal connection and there's a need identified. And those are the two key parts that if you look at what a word of mouth buzz is, an introduction is, or a warm lead is, they're missing one or both of those two parts. So I always say it's best to start with understanding what a referral is, because I absolutely want you to know what it is when it arrives. And when it arrives as a word of mouth buzz or an introduction, I want you to know what's missing so that you can flip it into a referral. Because that's also the second key, is not only knowing when a referral shows up because of how you're going to guide them through the conversation to say yes to working with you, but then also when it's so close to a referral, but it's not, how do we flip it all the way in?
So Stacy, what I love about what you're saying, one of the things I want to put into this big picture of everything is that the reason I was so excited to have you on our podcast is you literally are verbatim a lot of the ways that I work with people when it comes to building a referral-based business. And I love that you've broken this down about what is a real referral. Like there's all these different levels of what kind of a referral might look like. And I've always talked about it as there's good referrals and bad referrals. That's just, I've never had all the different levels to it. I'm like, good and bad. And so whenever somebody says, I'm getting all these referrals right now, I'm like, great, tell me all about them. Like, literally break down every one. And as I'm writing my notes, I'm like, bad referral, bad referral, bad referral. And then we get done with it. I'm like, I've got 5 bad referrals and 1 good referral. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, what you just described to me is exactly what you said, is you have maybe people talking about you or they're sharing your name with their friends, but they're not truly actively making that referral come together. And I think it's a big misleader that a lot of people have when understanding what their referral-based business might look like. So I love how you just said that.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's important. So let me just make sure everybody knows, when you're probably categorizing some of those as bad referrals, they're probably word of mouth buzz or introductions, I'm assuming. Yeah. And so an introduction is where there's a connection. You're connected to somebody, but nobody knows why. Are we just being connected because there's two people who need to meet and, you know, grow our base of centers of influence, or just go have coffee with someone? Or does somebody need to make a buying decision within this introduction, right? And that's what makes it miss being an actual referral. Like, you're definitely connected in an introduction, but there's no need identified in the prospect. And we don't even always sometimes know who the prospect is and if there is one. Sometimes an introduction is just an introduction, but sometimes it's supposed to be a referral and it's not. And then sometimes we think it is and it's not, right? And then word of mouth buzz is the opposite. I was talking about you to somebody who totally needs you, but I'm just not going to tell you who it is because I'm not going to make the connection to the prospect. I'm going to tell you that they're going to call you because I totally gave them your number, right? And we know that most people probably actually do want to call, but they won't because they're busy. So you can have a need identified. Thank you for talking about me. Thank you for telling someone I can save, you know, make their world better and save everything for them. But at the end of the day, if I don't know who they are, it doesn't really matter if I wasn't connected to them. And those are the two biggies.
That's what I love about how you put it, because it totally can be transformed if you can identify that there is truly a referral here. It's just not being, you know, handled in the right way. There are ways to go and have the right conversation and put it on the table and bring that business back around. And that's what you've done so well in your book, by really helping people understand that there's a way to resurrect those. It's not like, it's not just a bad referral. Like, it just needs to be understood in a different way. And you've done a great job with that.
Thank you.
I think the other part that you mentioned here, Stacy, which is very, very key for people, particularly in real estate, to understand, is the human element. Like you mentioned, that the referral source is a human being, not a system, not a program, not your flyers that are going out there. That stuff is marketing, direct marketing, whatever you want to call it. And I think a lot of people will say, yeah, I got all these referrals coming through this system. And it's like, yeah, that's not really a referral either, because you don't have that. You talked about trust, because the human connection is what builds trust. Is like, there might be some trust there if there is an explanation of services, but that's a prospect or a lead, maybe a warm lead. Most likely closer to a cold lead at that point, though. So that human connection is very, very important too.
And, you know, I would add to your list of what people sometimes think is that potential, like, oh, I got referrals from. They also say, like, I got a referral from my Chamber of Commerce or my BNI group. And I'm like, no, referrals don't come from groups. They come from a human in that group. So who's the human in that networking group or that leads group that you're going to that actually gave you a referral? And in that case, and I can totally go off on a soapbox about this, but I won't, is let's make sure that we're actually passing quality there, not just passing for the sake of metrics. But even in cases like that, I always tell folks, no, you didn't get a referral from a group you're in. There's a human in that group that decided to make a referral, if that's what it was. And we need to know that. Because ultimately, if we want more referrals, we need to know who our referral sources are, because that's who we're going to take care of to be able to cultivate more referrals from.
Stacey, I'm probably going to make you go off on a soapbox here. So just everybody hang on. But I think, you know, the more that you can address that it's a person that's involved here, it's not a group, it's not a system, it's not something that's happening out there. This is people and people. One of the things you talk about in the book that I've always referred to it as like lead with your heart, but you talk about it as be authentic, like be authentic to you and, you know, build these relationships. And I want to see if you can expand more when you talk about being authentic, because we're in a world right now that people need authenticity. And I'm finding that the referrals are off the chart right now when you can be authentic with your people in your database and your sphere and the ones that you have a connection with. Can you go a little bit deeper for us on that whole idea of being authentic?
You know, the reality of it is everybody who refers me genuinely likes me, but they like me for who I am. It's the same thing with anyone I refer to. I like that person. Right? Because for me to trust somebody and to know that they can do a great job, right, I actually have to get to know them and I have to be able to build a relationship with them, which means I actually want to probably be in the same room with them, you know, back when we get to doing that again. And so it's this concept of when you're being authentic, you're being, you know, real to who you are and making those genuine connections with people so that they can get to like you. And here's the thing, I'm not for everyone. I'm sure you guys aren't either, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. I'm not for everyone in terms of who they want to, if I'm the person they want to hire, and I'm not the person necessarily for who they may want to refer to. The reality of it is that when I'm being authentic and I'm being who I am, and I know those pieces and parts of myself, right? I know how to set up boundaries, and I know that I deeply care about people, and I know how to make sure I'm staying in connection with them and that they know that I care about them and that they also know I will do excellent work to the best of my ability and will fix whatever doesn't go well to make it right. When they know those things about me, it's because they have seen it happen. Either they've experienced or they've seen it happen, or they've had people tell them. And that has developed their opinion of me. And then as I continue to nurture those relationships, that part of me, right, and who I am, that likability factor for those that choose to like me, right, is really what drives this whole process. Yes, you have to do amazing quality work. Like that's like almost like a disclaimer, like barrier to entry. You better be able to do great quality work. But it's also this ability to like truly care about you. Like, so it's funny, my husband owned a restaurant for almost 15 years. And then he sold it a couple of years ago, took a little bit of time off. And then for whatever reason, decided he wanted to get into sales and now has like a sales job. And he's done that in his like out of college, but then he was in the restaurant business forever. And so it's just kind of funny to me that now he's like in a sales job. Well, he was on a local Zoom networking group meeting and everybody in there, he was like, oh my gosh, he was like, Stacey, I took notes on every single person. He said, how much they love you. I wrote all their names down so I could tell you who, and he was like, it kind of got annoying, right? Everyone's like, oh, we love Stacey, right? I mean, and a lot of that has to do with the fact when I was building my business before it is what it is today, I did a lot more in the local community. I mean, I was networking, I was out, I was president of boards and things like that. And I was volunteering and doing different things like that. But so I got to know a lot of people, but it's showing up genuine. Like I know who I am. And I think that's a part of it. I like to say, I know I'm sarcastic and I can be like, my students will tell you I'm a straight shooter. And sometimes I'll like look right through you like, this isn't what you need to be telling me. But I also like to say that sarcasm comes with a little bit of charm. So it kind of takes the edge off for people, you know, in terms of getting to know me and having that relationship and just being comfortable making sure I'm making those connections. And ultimately, what this all comes down to is if you have the willingness to care for the other person, that is ultimately why somebody is going to feel connected to you, because they know you care. But here's the thing. it's got to be real. You actually have to care about the other person. You have to be genuine in this. You can't be dead inside and just going through the motions and faking it. So yes. I think whatever our personality is, whoever we are, from being authentic. Now I can't even say the word.
Isn't it crazy though? I know that you get people that I watch them all the time and they're like, yeah, Garrett, I'm asking the questions. Yeah. I'm learning stuff about them. I'm taking notes and I'm doing that, but I'm not seeing any referrals yet. I'm like, cause you don't care.
Yeah. If you go into it with that mentality, that's the wrong end game. It is the end game. Okay. I always tell this to my students, the end game, if a course is to get referrals. I mean, of course, but how we're going to get them is that we're going to release the expectation of the outcome in the beginning. And we're going to truly focus on doing the right work, which is taking care of those people. And then it will come. And if it doesn't, it is, I always can tell my students when they're like, I'm just not getting the referrals I thought I would. I'm like, this is coming down to either something's wrong in your business or fundamentally people can see through that you don't really care.
Yeah. I mean, we see that all the time, Garrett, you and I, when we're talking to people. And I think what's interesting, I love this topic of caring about people because we've talked about it so many times on this podcast. But Stacy, one thing that we see too is sometimes it takes this aha moment for people to go, oh, that's what that really means. That's what authentic is being like. And you had mentioned showing up as who you are and understanding that that means that not everybody's going to like you. And I particularly feel like in real estate, which is it's a big industry and can be very generic, that a lot of people try to be all things to all people. They hide things about themselves because like, well, I don't want to offend anybody. And when they get into deeper topics, certain things I can understand. But when it comes to just helping guide people through a transaction or whatever process they're going through, it's like being yourself becomes this thing that people just stop doing for some reason. So maybe it might help because you started off with a business that didn't go where you wanted it to go.
Right.
You were concerned about getting stuck in corporate America, which I think is a lot of people who got into real estate were in that similar position. It was for me, for sure. So what was your aha moment? What was that moment when you were like, wait a minute, I can be myself and it actually will help me thrive in this business?
So, you know, it's funny, as I've gone through and I kind of reflect back on this journey I've had with my first business and it making it almost 4 years or right after 4 years and then failing and finding myself back in corporate America and then starting my second business as a business and productivity coaching practice. And then that's when I discovered my referral strategy. And that's when I started teaching it and totally did a pivot in my business. I have had a series of aha moments through the process, and I look back and I think about where the first kind of, I guess it's like the first moment that I was like, I want to look at my business differently is actually after my first business had failed and I was back in corporate America and I happened to work for a financial services firm. So I watched all these people walk through the door that wanted to become financial advisors. And that is a tough, tough business. Everybody needs one. But nobody wants to hire one because it's so hard, right? To share all your money troubles with somebody and trust someone to manage your money. But it's like the most needed job I think in all the world. And it's the hardest one I think to get started in. And so I watched these people come in and I watched how they would grow their businesses. And I was I was their chief talent officer at the time of that company. So I did some of the recruiting, but I also did some of the training and I was watching this happen. And I started paying attention to how they were teaching referrals because I kept thinking, I don't know, if someone's going to refer somebody else for money, I think it's the same thing when it comes to selling and buying your house. We do not want to make a mistake on this decision of who we hire as our realtor, right? Same thing with your financial advisor. We do not want to make a mistake here. And so I started paying attention, wouldn't be referrals the best way to do it because of what's at stake? And I started paying attention to how they were teaching it. And I was like, that cannot possibly, and it was the asking method, right? And that runs rampant in real estate and it runs rampant in the financial advising space, among other spaces as well, insurance and things like that. And I kept thinking they're teaching the asking. And I'm like, that can't be right. I know that doesn't work for everybody. It wouldn't work for me. There's got to be another way. But obviously at that time I was in corporate America. And then I was like, wait a minute, how many referrals did I get in my first business? The one that failed after 4 years when I had KPMG as a client and Ally Bank as a client. I'm like, okay, well, how many did I get? And then I realized none. I got zero referrals in my first business. Actually, the only referral I received in my first business came 2 years after I'd already shut it down, and I was in corporate America. So I was like, huh, okay. So I obviously don't know what referrals look like. And now I'm watching how the industry, and it's not the particular company I was at, it was the industry, because I saw this at industry-wide conferences and stuff, like how they're teaching referrals. And I just had this moment of, you just shouldn't have to ask. Like, there's everything about that seems and feels wrong. And you shouldn't have to constantly ask. And it shouldn't be about the 12 scripts that you know about all the opportunities and when you ask and who you ask and how you ask and at what time do you ask. Like, I was like, that just fundamentally doesn't seem to fit why someone would actually choose to refer someone else. Because the referral isn't about the person who's, hey, I'm asking you to refer me. It's not about you, right? It's about the referral source, who I call the hero, but it's about the referral source knowing somebody who has a problem and then deciding to help them solve that problem. And the fact that they happen to recommend you as a solution provider is just bonus for you, but they're helping someone else. And so I kept thinking about, but why someone refers someone is to help someone else, but asking is in direct contradiction with how it actually works.
I've always looked at this in our industry, and this is in lots of industries, but as you said, real estate, it's rampant in, is like, who in the world ever decided it was an okay, like, this is the plan, guys. We're just going to ask, and we're going to ask a lot. And this is how we're going to make our business model work. And I'm like, who came up with this idea? Like, when did this become okay to chase people around and be like, hey, just remember, hey, up over here, real estate agent. Hey, so I love, love, love. I mean, this speaks to my heart of saying, like, you know, we need to create an atmosphere and create a business and create relationships that drive people naturally back to us without us having to say a word. If we're having to say a word, I agree with you. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. So awesome.
Yeah. You know, and it's so funny too, because, and it's not like this has just been the advice we've heard for the last like 5 or 10 years. And it's like now new. I mean, this is the stuff we've been teaching for decades, if not generations. Right. Like this was, I mean, there are some other ways that have kind of popped up, you know, in terms of not asking, but it's kind of like looks like asking, like when you offer to pay somebody, right? Or you're going to be really overly promotional and gimmicky. And I see this a lot in real estate, the gimmicky and promotional and cheesy stuff where they send out a bag of goldfish with a tag attached to it that says, I'm fishing for your referrals. Right. I mean, you're asking, right? Or like the extra pack of bubble gum, and they send out with a note that says, I'll go the extra mile for your referrals. I'm like, okay, you're asking. Like, you're trying not to ask by being silly and funny and cheesy. But like, but here's the thing. I get that some people ask. I get that some people are promotional and cheesy. And if it works for you, I do not want to break something that's working in your business. But the reality of it is, particularly when I think about, and I have different industries in my program, but when I think about, and I talk to all the realtors that are actually in my program, it's because they don't want to do those things. And they're like, that doesn't fit my reputation, doesn't fit my brand. It's not how I would present myself in the marketplace. I want to be able to focus on who I am. And there's got to be another option. And that's why like they end up like in my program and stuff, because I'm like, you are not allowed to do those things if you're going to follow my model.
So Stacy, do you find that when people figure out the model, they're like, oh, thank goodness. That's what I found. They're like, oh, thanks. I thought I've been having to do this stuff for years, and it's why I've been actually hiding from my business, because I thought that was the way I had to do it to be successful. And I loved your models, because I couldn't, I have to share it, but I had one years ago that was a calculator that people were sending out with a sticker on it that says, my results are my success is incalculable without your referrals. And I'm like, please, please don't send it. Like,
don't do it. No, it's funny. So yes, I do think that people are like looking for a different option. And to your point, what I find most funny when people come into my program and they realize what it's going to look like, they're like, oh my gosh, I can totally do this. And then in the very next breath, they say, why is this so simple? Like, I'm like, oh, because you're going to be a human. Like, that's why this is so simple. I get the piece that throws most people off is the language piece that we use. And it is my secret sauce. And it is the piece that I know that when I figured out that that was also the triggering point besides taking care and cultivating relationships with my referral sources, that the language I use mattered. And language is kind of my jam. I mean, I actually went to grad school to get more education and communication. So like, I get that the language piece is kind of what makes it all work. And when you just take care of people, but you don't always have the language piece, which we call planting referral seeds, it sometimes is, it works, but not in the same way it could, because then we're not kind of like having them think of us in a certain way and amongst the gratitude that we feel and that we're sharing and the thankfulness. And so they're always like, okay, I can do this. This is so normal. And wow, it's so simple. Why is it so simple? But it does, minus the language piece. I always tell folks, because you're going to care about people who make your business easier and they help you grow your business. Like, what could be more simple than that?
Yeah. Well, let's get into that simplicity of action too, because I think you're absolutely correct. If you're asking and it's working for you, great. Have at it. And Garrett and I say the same thing, but there's also a reason why we have this podcast and why the Ninja Selling System exists is because people are attracted to the system because they don't want to ask. And so I'm sure you're going to say a lot of the same things that we've said before, but where do people then get started to take this action of, okay, well, if I'm not going to ask for referrals, Stacy, how do I attract them? How do I receive these referrals? Because I need business like kind of right now or in the near future. And it sounds like this is a long-term process. So where do I start?
Yeah. And that is the reality is it is a long-term process. And what I tell folks is I do want you to generate referrals. And if you can be like, we had a student in the program, Gray, he's a CPA, and he got like 30 referrals in 3 months. Great. I want you to be like him if you can be like him. That's awesome, right? Or like Stacy, who is actually a realtor that's in the program, and she's been in the program a couple of years. And she was like, you know, it was really fun within my first year to see my referrals tick over to double digits. I want that for you. I think that's amazing. But actually, I want something a little bit better for you than just that. And so I tell folks, I know you're going to judge how it works based on your first year results. I get it. But the conversation I want to have with you 3 years from now or 5 years from now is how much better your life is because you have built a different mechanism of sustainability in your business by generating referrals every single year that you can now understand what you do that gets you the results you need. And that's the outcome you can come to rely on. So I have a student in my program who's been in like 6 years and she's like 40 referrals a year. Right? And she happens to be an attorney, but she's like, yep, that's what I get. And she didn't start out at 40 in her first year. She got to like, you know, double digits. And then she got to like 27 and then she got to the 30s and then 40s. And she's like, that's all I need. And if I can cultivate continuing to receive somewhere in that 35 to 45 range of referrals a year, she's like, my practice looks entirely different. I don't stress. Life is easier, right? That's ultimately what I want. But here's the very first step. So again, yes, do I want you to get referrals right away? Absolutely. It is nothing I'm ever going to guarantee because I don't know where you're starting from with how well you've actually cultivated relationships with people in the past. But where we're going to start is we're going to identify who are your existing referral sources. They may be active because they've referred you in the last year or two, or they may be inactive because it's been 3, 4, 5 years since they've referred you. But what I want you to do is to identify who are your referral sources. Now, this can be a very complicated process if you just try to sit down and think about people who've referred you. So the way I teach people to do it is we're going to reverse engineer to get to the data that we need. And how we're going to do that is we're going to actually pull a list of our clients. And when you pull a list of your clients, like for those of you who are like, I'll try this, then just go back a year or two, because if not, you're going to do too much data and you won't finish. But for those of you who are like, I really want to know what this looks like, give me 3 or 4 years. I need you to go back 3 or 4 years. If you want to go back further, you can. At some point, though, it may be too far back. And so I always tell folks, give me a couple of years of data, pull your list of your clients and see if in your CRM, or you may have to do this from memory, if you can tell exactly where that client first heard about you. Did they meet you at a networking event? Did they answer one of your cold calls? Probably not, but maybe they did, right? Did they respond to the farming piece that you sent out to the neighborhood you're farming, right? Did they call because they saw your sign in the yard? Were they referred to you by somebody, right? I want to know where those clients came from. And when it says this person was referred, I need you to write down the name of who referred them. Now, if you actually are capturing the stuff in a CRM, and the longer you've been in business, the more likely you are, that is awesome. But if you have this in Excel, or you've got to go back and look at maybe in some email threads or some digital or printed out folders that you have these folks with their files, whatever it takes, you can even pick up the phone and ask them, hey, I'm just updating my files. And one thing I'd really love to know is, do you remember how you first heard about me? Like, you can even ask the question if you don't know. I know that makes people a little uncomfortable, but it's a great way to reconnect with people too. But ask people if you don't know, how'd you first hear about me? Some won't remember, and that's okay. But we're looking for those clients that were referred to you by a referral source. And you can do the same process with your prospects, the ones who did not say yes to working with you, right? But they were part of your funnel at some point, your pipeline. So you can look at this from clients, you can look at this from prospects, pull out the list of people who actually were the referral sources of those clients and prospects. And then that is your list of referral sources. Now, the way I teach it is then we then go in and categorize, are we active or inactive? And that's based on how long ago they referred you. And then we look at the relationship we have with them and we start making determinations of how we're going to move forward. But it really comes down with the least sexy step at all. As of all the steps, the first step is the least sexy. It's the most work because you've got to get into your data and you've got to pull out the truth from your business.
Yeah.
Stacey, you made a comment about reaching out and actually calling some of these people to kind of be like, you know, what was our first introduction? How did we meet? And you said that might feel uncomfortable. And I want everybody listening out there, the only reason that would feel uncomfortable is if your authenticity is not right and why you're doing this. If you're authentic to really trying to figure out how can I make better connections? How can I grow? And really honest, I was thinking about friends of mine, you know, would I ever feel weird about calling them? Be like, how did we meet? Like, how did our relationship start? If it was for a system, like I was doing it for a system to build and grow a business, it would be uncomfortable. If I was doing it because I was truly, genuinely, and honest curiosity about it, it would be a great conversation. Actually, probably be a very fun conversation. So, Stacey, I'm happy you said that way, but I want people to understand that there's an authentic side to that is why it would be difficult or an easy phone call to make. I hope that helps.
Hearing that is really important because I always tell folks is if your intentionality is right, sometimes what people just need is the language piece to just get comfortable with themselves of what they're going to say. But more than likely, right, if, just as you said, if they're coming at it from the right place, the minute the first couple words come out of their mouth, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's just that some people get so up in their own heads about what I'm supposed to say and what this is supposed to look like that they forget exactly what you said. It's just going to be a conversation with someone that you're coming at it from curiosity because you care about them. You also happen to want a piece of information, right, that you're hoping you'll be able to get. And just knowing that and remembering that and reminding yourself of that makes all conversations easier.
So I'm curious because we're talking about the referral tree is what you're talking about here. And Stacey, we have the benefit of working with the same person. I have a client that I've coached for many years and I introduced her to your book and she decided to also bring you into her business and say, hey, look, this is something that I think would really help me. And basically I forced her to read the book. But it was interesting is that we always, we see it as coaches in our world all the time is that you can coach somebody and talk to them and work with them. And then all of a sudden they'll go take a conference, they'll read a book, they'll meet somebody and they come back and go, oh my gosh, I learned the coolest thing. And this referral tree, Tara Tooley, who's at the group in Fort Collins, Colorado, she did this. She came to me and she goes, she's having me build this referral tree. And then she even comes, her next step was just like you've been telling me to do for a while. And
at least she realized it, right? At least she made the connection. It's something you've been telling her.
Yeah, but it's so great when you watch people make that connection because I could hear her energy lighting up as she was looking at her business, just like you were just saying, where she got the chance to go back and say, okay, this person, and she was going back deep. Like this person referred this person, referred this person. Like the reason I know this person is like 5 or 10 connections. I think one of her ones was like 17 people back, I think is what it was. It was a huge list that you can really get a sense of what your business is about and what you're working with by taking that time and pulling the data. So I'm so happy that that's a place you come from when you're first starting to work with somebody.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Tara's definitely like the A+ overachiever student as well. Like most of the time I'm like, I just need this in an Excel file. Like I just need names. I just need to know that you know who your referral sources are. And sometimes they then take it and they do so much more with it. And I love it when we call it mind mapping, right? When they actually take it and they're like, okay, let's do the spider web. And like you guys call it the referral tree, but let's like look at where do these people come from? And this person's responsible for all these people who are then responsible for all these people being referred. And it is so fun, I think, to visually see it. But the reality of it is when I'm starting with someone, I'm like, I just need this stuff in an Excel file so we know who we're going to do stuff for moving forward. But yeah, she is definitely like A+. And you know, it's funny. You mentioned you've been telling her to do this all along. And then she picked up my book and she read it. And here's what is the key, I think, about when this happened is that she read the book because you told her to. right? You basically referred her to the book. You told her to read it and she read it. And she was like, and I think her exact response was, I read it. And I was like, got it. Yeah. I know this. And you told her to keep going when she thought she had it all. And then she read whatever chapter it was. I mean, I think I know, but she read whatever chapter she needed where something clicked and she put it into action. And then she had results. And then she was like, oh my gosh, Garrett is now the smartest man on the planet. And I'm going to absolutely connect with Stacy and have a conversation and see if she can make it even better. And so I think that's the point.
Funny, it's my intention with it is, and I remember giving her, sending her the book, or at least telling her to go get the book. And in my brain, I was going, I need her to hear it from somebody else.
Right.
Like I can tell her all day long. It's like a parent talking to a child. And it's like, I need you to go hang out with your grandmother for a little while because I need you to go and hear it from somebody else. And of course, they come back from the grandparents' house going, Grandma said I should do this. And this would be, you know, make me a better person. And you're like, yeah, I've been telling you that all along. Great. So I think that was it was a great way for me and to have Tara see it, just hear it from somebody else, another expert out there. And that for hers were all the, like, it was like, it's not just you saying it, Garrett, like Stacy says it also. And I'm like, perfect. Run with it.
Other people believe it, right? It's not like this is crazy concept you came up with yourself. And I think that's why people, when they understand what it looks like to generate referrals without asking, and they understand what they have to do, whether they follow like what I teach or they kind of create their own in a way that works for them. I have lots of people who just read my book and they're like, I think I got this. And they'll go off and do their thing and they'll have some results, which is excellent. That's what I want. But I think it is because at the heart of it is what we've been talking about. This is like common sense, be a good human kind of stuff that we really need. We've always needed, right? I mean, I've been doing this for 7 years. We've always needed it, but needing it now more than ever. And I think that that's what's so important about it. But to your point, yeah, sometimes having somebody else say it is what actually makes it click.
Stacy, have you ever had anybody say to you, so you're just telling me to be a good person?
So, you know, it's funny when people used to tell me that, I used to get offended. I'm like, well, it's a little bit more than that. Right. But ultimately, at the end of the day, yeah, I am. I'm telling you to be a good human. I then want you to do some specific stuff to be the good human and use specific language so that I know you'll be able to get the results back of referrals. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I always tell folks, if you are dead inside, do not apply because it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. Oh man, Garrett, we talk about like one of the key factors in that ninja selling will not work for you is if you are not a good person. If you do not care about people, ninja selling is probably not going to be the system for you. And what I love about listening to you guys go through this conversation about Tara there is you perfectly demonstrated why people make referrals. And Garrett, we talk to our clients about this all the time, about people make referrals when they know they're going to look good at the end. And so you're like, and Tara's now looking at Garrett thinking he's the smartest man alive because he referred this book. And Garrett, you referred the book because you knew it would produce a result. And that is why people refer. And so if you're an agent out there, if you're making connections and demonstrating this incredible value, people are going to want to refer you because they know it's going to make them look good at the end of the day when they make that connection, which is very, very powerful in some of the, I mean, we could go deep into the non-conscious reasons why that all exists. But in the interest of time, Stacy, I want to ask you too, because you mentioned language and I know there's a lot to it and I don't want to give away what you talk about in the book because it's really great and I want people to go buy this book. But you mentioned partly in here, like the conversation about how's business. And one of the most popular questions, the most famous real estate question in all the land that real estate agents get is, how's the market? And a lot of agents answer it with, oh, it's good, or it's a great time to sell, or this and that. But there's a better language in answering that. And so I would love to hear your spin on that because it goes into planting these referral seeds a little bit, but also asking more questions to discover why people are asking this question, right?
You're right. It is the universal question, whether in real estate, to your point, how's the market, in business, in life, just showing up at the neighborhood barbecue, how's business, right? How's it going? It is that universal question. And I think that the idea behind how we answer that question is first just to see if we can get a different reaction and start a different conversation. Ultimately, though, what I'm hoping for is that it allows you to have a conversation and a dialogue that can be ongoing, and someone can start thinking about you differently and how you answer that question. And so as a realtor, right, so if someone were to come up to me and they'd be like, hey, Stacey, how's the market? Right, I'm having flashbacks to actually when I was a realtor. and I haven't been asked that question in over 10 years. And so, and I always was a realtor. I always like to give my disclaimer. I was a realtor that did it part-time. I'm those people that probably the full-time brokers like didn't like, because I had a full-time job and I was doing it on the side because I was in my 20s. I was dating my husband, but we weren't married yet. And I just had time on my hands, right? We had no kids, anything like that. And so I was a real estate agent, and I got in like in 06 when it was like, you just open up a website and the leads are going to flood in, right? I mean, like, it was kind of a crazy time to be a realtor. But,
oh yeah.
So if that question is asked, how I want you to respond to that is I want you to answer the question. I'm not asking you not to answer the question, but I'm asking you to answer the question in a way that shifts the focus just for a moment to the fact of how you are building your business, right? So from the idea that how's the market, answer the question. Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? Is it a kind of crazy market? Is it like everything's going super fast and you better be ready if you want to buy right now? Like, I want you to answer the question, but I also want you to say, the market may be doing this, but with the last couple of clients that I have started working with that have been referred to me, this is how we're strategizing how to deal with this market.
Mm. So planting that seed of that word, right?
It's just planting the seed. Yeah, it's just telling them, hey, now if someone said, if they didn't ask me how's the market and they just said, how's business, right? I would be very direct and be like, business is awesome. Thanks so much. I just brought on 5 new clients last week and 4 of them were referred to me. And so it's that idea of letting them know that you're answering the question, but you're also answering it in a way that allows you to plant a referral seed so that what we're hoping for is some dialogue can start, right? Now, we want the dialogue to start around this concept of referrals. So when you're having a conversation with someone that you think has the potential to refer you, it depends on the situation, right? If you're talking, you know, to another business owner or something, someone highly connected in a neighborhood or in a community or whatever, and this is someone you want to pick you as their realtor to refer to, because there's thousands of you out there for them to choose from, right? And so if you want to start just like seeing if you can like plant the seed, it's the ability to talk about your business from a referral perspective. And even saying, yeah, those, you know, those 4 new clients I just brought on that were referred to me, it's really interesting. You know, a couple of them were referred to me by previous clients and one of them was referred to by one of my centers of influence. And then keep the dialogue going. If it's a business owner, you can easily say, so I know referrals are huge for my business and how I grow my business. How do you grow yours? What's your best way to start generating business for your, you know, generating clients for your business? And just see where the conversation goes. Sometimes you just say, I got clients by referrals and it's awesome. And the subject changes direction and that's okay. Maybe you planted a seed, maybe not. Other times you can actually keep the dialogue going that gives you that opportunity to continue to plant the seed.
In the last couple of weeks, I've actually had people experiment with that. Of when people ask about the business, we have a very specific way in Ninja that we want to answer that question, which, you know, for anybody who's been doing installation, you would answer with, you know, what part of the market are you specifically asking about and take it down that route. But you're right. And I've had some people kind of loop back around and bring in that dialogue of, you know, business in general, or like, again, if they're asking about how is your business, just saying, you know, it's really interesting in this marketplace, in this world that we're in right now, I'm receiving a lot of referrals because people are really wanting their friends to be taken care of is what I'm noticing. And it's been opening up some great conversations for people that are leading down this referral path. And this is people that they would never, ever, ever bring that word referral into that place. But because it's just explaining the kind of the situation, it's not asking, it's like all of a sudden it becomes okay. And it opens up that door. And I truly think that referrals, as we know, are given because there's a trust level that we know that that person's going to take care of our person. And when they can see that other people have that trust and they're sending their friends and their people and their family, it gives the person you're talking to more confidence to be like, oh, other people are referring to this person. Like, I probably can feel confident and comfortable with it also. And it just opens up this door. So I love your approach to this, Stacey. And I think it is so simple, yet can be so powerful.
Yeah. And I think, that is ultimate social proof, right? So one of the books that I had to read was Persuasion by, oh my gosh, how did I forget his name?
That's his name? Oh.
No. That would be hilarious, right? It's like Caladani. I mean, everybody knows his name. Anyways, I'm not even going to try to butcher it. Anyways, he wrote the book Persuasion. It's like a must read for people who are like in sales. And it talks about the seven things that people need to be persuaded to say yes to you. And social proof is one of them. You're absolutely right. It's like, it's your ability to remind other people that people trust you enough to not only work with you, that's why you're still in business, but also refer other people to you. And it is, I mean, I always tell folks, referrals are such an amazing thing for your business. But like, yay, you get an easier client and you get them to say yes easier. And usually they're not always the easiest client, but saying yes makes them sometimes the easiest client. They're more likely to refer other people, and you can nurture that relationship and plant referral seeds when they're working with you. And then you've got them as a referral source taking care of them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what a referral reminds me of every time I get one and every time I know my students get one, I just say to myself, oh my gosh, thank you. It's like I just needed that little tiny reminder that I really do good work and that people really do trust me and that I really matter. And that is ultimately, I think, the greatest expression of what a referral is when we're looking at it for ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's something that then loops back around and builds on itself. And when you really start to build a business that is truly referral based, it feels good. The people associated with the business love it. They're enjoying it. And the referrals just mount exponentially. And this is where we talk a lot about in real estate. If you want to grow your business on an exponential curve versus a linear curve, referrals is the way to do that. Because if you're doing your traditional marketing, if you're farming neighborhoods, you got to hit a few more houses for the same number of potential leads that come in. That is a linear static growth versus building these relationships. Attracting referrals is going to create this exponential growth. So, you know, Stacy, we could go on and on, I'm sure, because we're loving this conversation. But I want to just kind of, and Garrett, you may have another question or two, but I just want to throw it out there. Like, is there just a simple piece of advice or something else that maybe we haven't covered yet that you just want people to know about referrals?
I think we have done a great job kind of like covering all the different pieces and parts of this, of kind of understanding what a referral is and then making understand like the heart of what you have to have when you're approaching it. And then really getting the first step that you have to be willing to do, which is identifying who your referral sources are. To your point, there are a lot of other pieces that I would say are really important, but ultimately, fundamentally, what I want people to understand is that if you'll do this one step we talked about and you'll go through the process of identifying who your referral sources are, just like we talked about with Tara, when she like looked at that list, like everything's going to change. You're going to see things that you can do differently. You're going to see relationships that you can invest more in. You're going to be maybe a little bit embarrassed because there's going to be people on that list and you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to them in 9 months, right? Or there'll be people who aren't on that list. You'd be like, what do you mean? I spent all this time with them and I've never gotten any referrals. Like, and we talk about referrals, like you're going to just have that ability to see your business differently and to know that, wow, it's possible. And for those of you who do that process and you don't have a lot of referral sources, there is absolutely a process and a system to turn clients and contacts into referral sources. It takes a little bit longer, right? Because they didn't just naturally get to them on their own. But the idea there is that it's totally doable and possible. And if you just do that step, I promise you, you're going to see your business differently. It'll be almost impossible for you not to.
I think the last thing that I wanted to kind of throw into this is that, and Stacy, I'm so happy that one, we got to have you on today and kind of share our similarities of how we look at this business and, or just business in general. But one of the things that I'm happy that came out of today's discussion is one is that this is a long-term game. This is not a you know, quick silver bullet type of thing of like, go do this and you're going to be super successful. It is a process and a program to focus, and just like Ninja, just like your system, to really long-term engage in these things and with these people. But at the end of the day, the word, Matt, that I'm so happy you brought to the table at the very end is that it's exponential. And the longer you do it, the better you grow these relationships, the stronger your connections get. It's an exponential growth. It gets better and better and better every year. And that's where I find with the people that we work with Ninja, is that the longer they do it, they're like, I'm not working any harder. I'm not having to put in more hours. I'm not having to go knock on, you know, 10 times more doors to do 10 times more business. These people just keep giving me more every year. And I'm like, because your relationships and your connections are so much stronger. And that is what your book, Generating Business Referrals Without Asking, I mean, you really have that ability of having people understand that And again, it leads to incredible businesses that people, I usually say miracles. It's where miracles happen for people. And they're like, I never thought this was possible. It's like, yeah, but it was. It was there. You just had to focus on the right people and build the right relationships. So Stacy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for what you do. And again, it's kind of like the nuts and bolts of why referrals happen and where to go. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's my pleasure to be on the show with you guys. I was thrilled when I found out I had the opportunity to hang with you guys and talk with you guys. And then to learn that, you know, Larry Kendall actually was like referring my book to other people. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. I didn't know that much about ninja selling until someone first told me about it. And they're like, you're really a lot like that process. And I thought it was because I use referral ninjas in my business and this was ninja selling. And I thought it was the marketing piece of it, and I didn't realize it was the philosophy piece. And so learning more about what you guys do and what you guys teach has been incredible. And thank you for having me as a, you know, the opportunity to be on here and talk to you guys. And it was really fun. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stacy. And thank you everybody for tuning in. That this is Stacy Brown Randall. You guys got to check her out. And the book is Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. And her podcast is Roadmap to Grow Your Business. Check that out too. And Stacy, and your website, stacybrownrandall.com. So guys, check her out. Read the book. It's fantastic. It's going to help your business grow. It's amazing. Follow the ninja selling methods. Use this method. It's going to do great things for your business. Stacy, it's been such a great pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about ninja selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.